to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Many years, but cut these lights down just a little bit, would you? The front lights on my eyes. The reason for the season, even though we know it and say it with our minds, a lot of times we don't live it. You ever anybody say something and you can tell they're not living what they're saying in their heart? Well, I know that everybody in here would say, we know the reason for the season, but I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about how to really enjoy this. How many would really like to enjoy this Christmas coming up? So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I'm just going to talk to you. Then we're going to have communion. Then we're going to worship the Lord, and you'll see right. Isaiah 7. Everybody stand up this morning if you would. Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Next scripture. Isaiah 9 and 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, and henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now the book of Luke. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I want to talk to you, as I said this morning, the reason for the season. This is November what? 30th. And some of you know that. It's November 30th today, and we're about to enter into the Christmas season. I don't know what you've got planned. I don't know what mixture your family is made up of. I don't know what pressures on your life. I don't know what expectations are on you. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're getting ready to do. But if you don't understand this, you're not going to enjoy this Christmas. You know what they said just recently, that, you know, they thought it was going to be a bad, you know, sales Christmas, because many of them make their money for the year. And yet that last Friday, it says it was a great day. They had mixed, you know, comments of what it was. But they took interviews, and a lot of people said, no, man, I'm going to spin. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. And as if what happens in the store determines on how good a Christmas we're going to have. Can I tell you that what happens at Cortana or what happens at the Mall of Louisiana has no bearing on whether or not I'm going to have a great Christmas or not? Let's bow our heads. Father, today I just ask you, help us. Bring us to a place where we would enjoy this Christmas and have great joy in times. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a great amen. 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 Look around. Somebody say Merry Christmas this morning. Would you say it? You know, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 through 11. It was the deal when the angels came to the shepherds and he told them, you're going to have great joy, or joy and peace on earth. And the word joy there that's used in Luke chapter 2, it literally means, it means great joy. It means mega. Everybody say mega. The word great joy or great joy, it has the word, it means mega joy. And Christmas was to be a time of mega joy. It's like two women that weren't Christians walking along, they, you know, during the Christmas season, and they saw a nativity scene. And one of them said to the other one, "Oh, look here, even the church is trying to hone in on Christmas this year." You know why? Because people literally forget what Christmas is about. They forget that the purpose of it, we, even us that love the Lord, we get so involved, the Martha mentality of everything that, you know, goes around and with Christmas, we forget the Christmas season, the Christmas spirit. What happens is this, we sing about joy, but we have very little joy during this time. You know, I heard a little girl, she was telling her version of the Christmas story. Here's what she said. She said, "Jesus was born just in time for Christmas up in the North Pole." So she's telling her little brother this. "Surrounded by eight tiny reindeer and the Virgin Mary. Then Santa Claus showed up with lots of toys and stuff and some swaddling clothes. The three wise men and the elves all sang Christmas carols, while the little drummer boy and Scrooge helped Joseph trim the tree. In the meantime, Frosty the snowman saw the star." Come on, somebody. You know, we are so confused that we seek the mall instead of the manger. Come on, somebody. We follow sales instead of the star. We look for the sleigh instead of the Savior. And we look for reindeer instead of the Redeemer. You know, we get all messed up in our brains this time of year. And we get to the place where we don't enjoy what the Lord wants. You know, there was a story, Dr. Seuss wrote a story called How the Grinch. Everybody say the Grinch. How the Grinch stole Christmas. And I'm not being a Grinch this morning, but there was a time when, you know, in the story that, and I wrote it out a little bit here. He remember when he stole all the presents? He went down to Whoville. He stole all the presents, brought them back up. He was being as nasty as he could be. And he was waiting for the wails and the crying and the woes is me coming from Whoville. And that's when that startling revelation comes. And here's what he said. He was perplexed because instead of hearing all the crying, he began to hear joy coming out of Whoville. Look at somebody, say, "Do you live in Whoville?" Just say, "Do you live in Whoville?" And he was perplexed because he said, Christmas came. It came without gifts. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, and bags. And that's when he came to this startling revelation. Maybe Christmas is something more. Maybe Christmas means more than all the gifts and the things that occur. You know, when we were confused and it says there was a little cartoon called A Shoe. I don't know if you ever read that one. But Skyler is talking to Uncle Cosmos about Christmas. And he says, "Uncle Cosmos, what do you want for Christmas?" And he said, "I told you, Skyler, all I want is a little peace and quiet." And Skyler says, "I've been to the mall. They're all out of that at the mall." Come on, somebody. Because there is a reason for the season. There was a story I read a while back about something that occurred. But what the analogy was, it was that people forget the reason for something, but they go on celebrating it year after year different ways. And the way the world celebrates Christmas and how all this is being taken out of schools to workplaces to businesses, you know, happy holidays, where it may be. We lose track, but we keep on celebrating it anyway, but lose the focus and the center of what Christmas is about. And this morning, I want to talk to you about that. In fact, what I want to do this morning, I want to use the word Grinch as an acrostic and the idea of how this world tries to steal the joy out of our Christmas. And I just want to use that real quick this morning. Like I said, I just want to talk to you. I think I'll help you. And to really enjoy Christmas this year. That even though the pressures may come and the deadlines may come and everything you've got to do and all that and this and the people getting together that you normally don't get together so much and all that has to do, it brings you to a place, though, if you remember the reason for the season, then you'll come out the other side and you'll say, "You know what? I had great joy this Christmas season." All right, everybody say Grinch. Would you say Grinch? And I want to use this as an acrostic. And the first one is G for Grinch. All right, I'm back up. I skipped over a bunch of stuff, didn't I? I'll back up a little bit. Let me say this. Number G is giving in to worry. Everybody say giving in to worry. That's your first one. Giving in to worry. You know, when we played ball, One of the worst times of playing ball was, what was the worst time of playing ball? It was right before you got into the what? Game. You worried more. You looked over the opponents. You saw what they did or didn't do. And the worst time of worry and jitters was before you got in. Once you got in the game, everything took over. But the worrying happens right, you know, before. And right now we're at November 30th. Tomorrow is December, right? Or am I thinking wrong? Is it one more day? No? I don't remember how, months in the, how many days in a month. But tomorrow starts December. Some of you think it's not really Christmas yet, but tomorrow it'll be December. And everything you've got to do and everything you've got to bring to pass, everything you've got to buy, all the food you've got to cook, all the places you've got to get ready, all the people that's coming, all the places you're traveling to, getting all that coordinated, getting all that paid for, getting all that ready, you're just about to enter to the one of the most hectic seasons of the year. And one of the ways that you get your joy stolen is if you give in to worry. If you begin to fret ahead of time, you begin to worry about it. Giving in to worry. Worry's like a rocking chair, I always say. It gives you something to do, but takes you nowhere. Because worry doesn't, and I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. But what if, answering worry comes, Corrie Ten Boom said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Worry will empty your day of its strength. It means, the word worry is in the Greek actually two words that mean to divide the mind. You are dividing your mind into good thoughts and bad thoughts, into those which are healthy and those which are unhealthy. The old English Anglo-Saxon word means to choke or to strangle. That's what the word worry means. Did you know when you worry, you literally strangle yourself or you are choking yourself? Whatever it is you're trying to do, whatever it is you're trying to be creative in, whatever it means, you're literally choking off your ability and strangling your ability to really move. Understanding that you come to a place where the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, they passed out a leaflet recently that about fatigue. And they said, hard work by itself seldom causes fatigue, which cannot be cured by a good night, which cannot be cured but by a good night's sleep or rest. Worry or tension or emotional upsets are the three biggest causes of fatigue. And I'm just focusing in on worry and tension, emotional upsets. Did you know one of the things that will weary you out and make you tired and fatigued is if you start worrying, getting tense. Listen to this. You need to understand this. A tense muscle is a working muscle. Man, I'm so tired. I don't know why I'm so tired today. Man, I had done nothing but sit in this chair all day. Well, you know, you can sit in a chair all day long and worry. And see, some of you are in here right now and you're so tense. You know, man, what I want is one of those, somebody just to rub my shoulders for about 3 days. You know why? Because you're working out right now. I don't go to the gym, but you're working out right now. You work all day long. You're so tense. You're so worried. You're so upset about something. You have to understand that a tense muscle is a working muscle. That means if you're worrying right now about something, you're tense. Your shoulders are tense. Your back is tense. Something is tense. And what they teach you to do, you know, we do some long airplane rides and all. And people think it's the time change that does the jet lag. Jet lag, no. It has to do with you sitting in one place, in one position. Can you imagine? We do a flight sometimes to Singapore, which is 18 hours in one seat. And you know what they teach us? They teach us on that 18-hour, one flight, one seat for 18 hours. Can you imagine? And they teach you how in your chair how to undo your muscles, because jet lag comes from you being stuck in one position and not moving, and your blood and all that, and heart, and I won't go into all that. But a tense muscle is a working muscle. That means if you are worrying, if you're tense, you wonder, why am I so fatigued? Why am I so tired? How many know that Pop Campbell does not look fatigued? Come on, somebody. You know why? Pop used to be on staff here, and you'd hear Pop. I'd be in a counseling session, and all of a sudden I'd hear the tractor coming my way, and then you could hear above the tractor this voice singing to the top of his lungs. You know what? Because Pop Pop doesn't let a lot of worry get on him because he just rejoices. Do you know why he's 82 and looks like he's, you know, like he was kidding about how young he feels and looks and sees? It's because he's not worn his body out by worrying all the time. Because a tense muscle is a working muscle. So what you got to understand is when you're tensed up, that muscle isn't just tense and there's nothing. That's as if you're out there working and doing and all that. So you've got to come to a place where if you're not going to have your joy stolen, you've got to come to a place where you do not allow your body or your mind, begin with, to worry and concentrate on worrying things. You got to know how to have a song of praise in you. You got to know how to release that thing. You got to know how to just joy before the Lord. You got to know, listen, I don't know about you, but January 1st is coming and it will come regardless. It comes every year. It does it every year. Christmas comes and goes every year. Every year you end up having, you know, you get you, everything where it always goes. Why tense yourself up? Fatigue yourself to the place where you don't even enjoy Christmas anymore. I won't give names or anything, but they're way outside our church. I've got some. I won't go in. I had somebody I was working with, and they're not Christians, but I could tell that they were sniping at each other because they were in a situation where they were pushing themselves, and I was among, I had to deal with something there, and I won't go into it. But I mean, you could tell they were trying to be as nice as they could because the preacher was there. Come on, somebody. But even with the preacher there, they's about to chop each other's head off. And then I had to go do something else, and a neighbor, did you see the police over here the other night? Da da da. And I said, well, no, but I don't doubt it. God said, because they were going at it before with even the preacher there. I can imagine when the preacher was removed. Come on. It's like the Holy Ghost being removed. And then all chaos happens. But you know why? Because they were tense. They were pushed. They were under stress. They were. Ah. And you've got to learn how to do this. You've got to learn how to release. Everybody do this. I want you to tighten up every muscle in your body. Right? That's how they teach you. Tighten up every muscle in your body. Now release it. You see a difference? Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning, I can tell. Let me give you a wisdom here from Peppermint Patty. She said, you know what? She said, daytime is so you can see where you're going. Nighttime is so you can lay down and worry. Come on, somebody. Look what Philippians 4 says. Philippians chapter 4. Come on. Speed up. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Everybody say, rejoice in the Lord always. Except December, you know. No, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, listen, he said, he thought it so important. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, everybody say again. Amen. He's not saying, I need to fatten up, you know, my letter. It's a little short, you know, one day. He didn't do that. It was important for him to repeat what he just said. That tells me whoever he was writing to probably wasn't rejoicing. So he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So that tells me whoever he was writing to was having a problem with this rejoicing stuff. They were doing it. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always and again. Everybody say again. And again, I say rejoice. Next verse. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious. Here we go. He's going to put rejoicing with worry. He's going to link rejoicing with being anxious. He's going to link worrying about everything rejoicing about everything twice with this anxious, this worrying. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace. Everybody say the peace. You can't buy that at the Mall of Louisiana. You certainly couldn't buy it last. How many went shopping last Friday? How many did not go shopping last Friday? Mercy be. Well, that's probably why you feel more peaceful today than you would have. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. Will guard. You know, Philippi was a Roman colony, and the word that he had guard there was the Roman guard that would guard a city, and how those that went to sleep never worried about being attacked because they had this guard outside. The Roman guards guarded the city of Philippi, and Paul plucks that word out and says, if you'll let the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, if you'll let it guard your heart and your mind, you'll go to sleep at night, and you've got like they did in that city. I mean, you could be in some other city that didn't have a Roman guard guarding it, and you could worry whether someone was going to come in. But in that city, you had a Roman guard, and you could just go be so peaceful in Philippi. And he said, you know what? The peace of God will be like that in your life. You just go to sleep. Let's say you got 9 gifts to buy by tomorrow noon. You just go to sleep. Come on, somebody. Look at Matthew 6. No one can serve 2 masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, be not worried. Everybody say worried. Be not worried about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. Look at, they do not sow, nor they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more? Look at somebody say, is your brain bigger than a bird's brain? Come on, see, you ever seen a bird's head? You know, a bird's head's only about that big. And if his head's only about that big, that means his brain is about that big. I have never yet come out and watched some birds on a power line thinking, well, how are we going to get food tomorrow? Is there going to be any worms tomorrow for us? You never see them think, how are we going to pay taxes? We have no idea how we're going to pay. They're not up there worried, their little brow wrinkled. He says, listen, God feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried? Listen to this. Who of you by being worried can add 1 single hour to your life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. This is the God of the universe talking to us. This is not some Oprah show. This is not, you know, Dr. Phil. This is the God of the universe who created the mass universe talking to us. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what are we going to do for the Christmas dinner? What will we have to drink at Christmas? What will we wear at Christmas? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? Listen to what Peter said. 1 Peter 5, he said, casting all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Bow your heads right now. Would you just do that? I'm not done. I just want to take a break. Father, in the name of Jesus, more than just some head knowledge, let this begin to sink deep into our hearts, that we can enjoy and have mega joy, that we would not seek that which the world seeks after. But Lord, this Christmas, we would love you. Put your kingdom first. Not give in to worry. Not let our joy be robbed by the Grinch of worry. But Lord, today that we would give it all over to you and trust you. And know that you provided for us for year in, year out. Year in, year out. And Lord, you'll do it again today. We trust you. Everybody said a good amen. Give them a good clap offering this morning, would you? Come on. All right, number 2. R, G-R, the Grinch. GR is number two, is refusing to focus on what you have. That is one way that the devil or the Grinch steals your joy, is refusing to focus on what you have. In Proverbs 14:13, I wrote this out a different translation. I want you to read this. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. One of the problems with Christmas is envy. That is people envying your neighbor's decorations. Envying what your friends are giving each other or where your friends are going for Christmas. Envying their family. Envying how they're spending their holidays. One of the ways you steal your joy is refusing to focus on what you have. They said, I wish I had more money to buy gifts. I wish I could go away like that family. I wish I lived in a house like that group. I wish my family, my marriage was more like this or that. And what happens is this, that the devil tries to steal it when you don't enjoy what you have. I talked about that last week, and I won't go into it very deep. But one of the keys is you need to strengthen the things that you have. Don't give in the envy thing, because envy rots your bones. Envy rots what you guys at work, what they're doing. Oh, they get to go fishing, you know. Envy will rot your bones inside. Envy will break your spirit. You won't enjoy Christmas. You won't enjoy what the Lord is doing in your life, you know, because of what it does. Christmas does not come in a store, but Christmas means so much more. Third one, G-R-I, an I for the word Grinch, means ignoring time to rest. And this is a biggie. Everybody say that. Say ignoring time to rest. Some of you, listen, I don't know how many times I deal with people that are addicted to things. But I can guarantee you in this building right now, there are a number of you that I've talked to you, and you are addicted to speed. Oh, not the drug speed. I'm talking about the pace of life speed. You become addicted to it. You couldn't rest. If they gave you 25 Valium in a row, you'd still be up doing something. One time, Jasmine took me somewhere. I had eye surgery done, and they gave me a Valium. I've never taken it. I took a Valium. I mean, I was in another world. I mean, just. And I remember I was in there. Some person had taken a lot of that stuff. They said, can I have another one, please? Some of you are addicted to speed. That's just how you live your life. You wouldn't know what to do just to sit down just for a little while. Job 9:25 says this. This is some of your lives. My days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing what? If you want joy this Christmas, if you want the mega joy, great joy to the earth, if you want real joy this Christmas, you've got to know when to rest and when it is you've got to work. There comes a season when there's a list of things you will probably never get done. A number of plates. We got a guy doing plates. We have that guy up there. You know what? Some people like doing this. All they do, they like spinning plates the whole Christmas season. They never slow down the whole, they got this plate going, that plate going, the next plate going, this plate going, that plate, and they never have a season, never have a chance to slow down and rest this Christmas season. God, rest ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing here dismay. There come seasons in your life when you've got to do this. You cannot ignore rest this Christmas season. You know, in fact, rest was one of, in God's top 10. When he gave the 10 commandments, one of the commandments out of the top 10 was to rest. Take a day off. There was to rest. In fact, when God created the world, the Bible said he rested. You know, when you burn a candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. Come on, somebody. Some of you burn the candle both ends. Nothing. You're burning the candle both ends and in the middle. Come on, somebody. Let me give you a $10,000 two-word seminar. No! I mean, one-word seminar, right? No. Two-letter seminar. And that is, there will be some point when you will need to learn the word no. Everybody say no. Now, I understand that sometimes you can, there was a grandmother, and she decided, I'm not buying presents for my kids, all my kids and grand. I'm not going out and killing myself this year. I'm going to put a $25 check in each one of their cards, and I'll put a little note. And she did that, and she put a little note, P.S., buy your own gifts this year. Christmas came and went, and she could not believe how insulted the family was at her. Sometime in January, she opens her checkbook, and there's all the checks she had written. She forgot to put them in the card. Come on, somebody. But you've got to come to the place where you learn to say, everybody say no. Proverbs 20 and 25 says this. Watch this. An impulsive vow is a trap. Later you wish you could get out of it. I should not have said yes. I shouldn't have said yes. I shouldn't have said. It is okay to say, I'd love to, but no, I'm not going to do it. No, I want to live. I want to have joy this Christmas. That means you're not out every night. That means you're not killing yourself to where you're almost dead. Remember, it's easier to get into something than to get out of something. You got that? You know, God set boundaries. God didn't let the rivers flow wherever. God set boundaries. When you don't have boundaries and you don't have banks, water dissipates. You have dams because of the water that's focused and it has more energy. You don't have boundaries. You just dissipate. You lose all your energy. You don't learn how to rest during this season of the year, then what you're going to do is you're going to lose your ability and your power. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose the ability to do what you want to do in life. You've got to learn how to set boundaries. Financially, you need to set, I'm guaranteeing, you need to set amount of money that you can do it without going in debt up to your eyeballs. Before you begin and say, well, you know, no, so-and-so's going to buy them that, so we're going to need to buy a toppy. You know, we're going to need to top that gift. You know, they're going to buy us this, and we know we need to buy them that. I don't get into that. We got a group of family, I just said, we got a group of family over in California, and the pay scales and all the lifestyle over there is totally different than it is over here. You know, a house over there is $500,000 is a okay house. That's the way you start bottom of the rung. Over there for many years, what it is, the asking price of a house was just the starting price. That's where you started bidding on a house over there for years. That's how you did it. And so we do this. We don't do that. Well, I don't try to get on par with that. We set up an amount, and that's what we can do. We can't do any more. I refuse to be on January 1st thinking, look at this Visa bill. How in the world are we going to pay this Visa bill? My dad did that every year. Growing up, my dad was Mr. Santa Claus. He loved Christmas. He would buy to the hilt and for the next year be paying Christmas off. Thank you for your enthusiasm, I can tell. You know, there's a Mrs., you know, well, we'll go into that. There's a Scrooge and a Santa Claus on every pew here today. We'll leave that right there. But here's what happens is, if you don't learn how to rest, then what's going to happen in your life is you're like a rubber band. I've used this before, but I'll show you again. What you do is, if you don't learn how to rest and say no, you're like a rubber band that just stretches and then you get the pressure off. Then you stretch, you get the pressure off. Stretch, you get the pressure off. And then what happens is you just stretch one time. Oh, help me, Jesus. Let's switch rubber bands. You stretch. That one's not going to work either. Here's a pre-broken one. I'll just use this pre-broken one. Hold it. You stretch and you break yourself. And what you do is, a lot of you, listen, what you do is you stretch, you break yourself. You stretch. Oh, how it goes. Thank you, Jesus. You stretch. Let me just break myself. Ow. That's a He-Man in action right there. And what you do is, instead of saying, you know what, I need to back off. You know what you do? You tie yourself back up. You know the term called, you feel like you're tied in knots? You remember that term? That's what you do, and then you start the process all over again. Just tense yourself up again. Let me tell you something. What happens in life is this. You come to a place where you end up in knots for the whole season. And the key to this is Romans 7. Listen what Romans 7 says. This is a key to your life. And it speaks about obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Romans. You have Romans 7? I didn't give it to you. Romans 7. Obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And Romans 7 says this. We've been called now to the obedience of the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's like this. God will tell you and direct you when you are to rest. Let's say that you go to the mall and you're praying, oh, God, I need a parking space. Oh, God, give me a good parking space. Oh, God. And you know what? And the Lord told you, don't go to the mall. How many know God is not obligated to give you a good parking space? Let's say you're at the mall and you know, you went there and you had 7 presents to buy. And you've been there 4 hours and you've got 1 present. And the Holy Spirit is prompting you, go home. But you're stubborn and you ain't leaving until you have 7. I came for 7. I ain't leaving until I get 7. Listen to what Peter says. Look what Peter says. Go back. It's 1 Peter. You have that one? Don't have that one? Oh, we're missing some today. Let me tell you what Peter says. 1 Peter 5:5 says, and God opposes, frustrates, and defeats them. How many understand this? Listen, the Bible says this. God, not that one. The Bible speaks and says, listen, God will oppose you at times. God will become that which brings. And we were rebuking the devil when the Holy Spirit has prompted us over and over, go home. Don't go. Don't become a part of it. See, and God opposes, frustrates, and defeats them. Do you know what I've learned during seasons of this? I've learned during seasons of high tension time to listen very carefully to the Holy Spirit. Because if I don't, I do not want God as my enemy. Remember, I talked to a guy one time. I said, you know, you do what you're about to do. The Bible says that God is the avenger of all such. I remember, you know what he said to me? I don't receive that. I said, you don't receive it. What nonsense is that? I said, you talk whether you receive it. It's automatic. You get it whether you want it or not. Oh, I rebuke that. I rebuke that. I don't receive that. I said, that's silly. Because the Bible says that if you do this and do that, God will oppose you. So there are seasons when I've learned this in my life. We do stuff sometimes, and then we just want God then to come back and fix what we did. And I've learned to come to a place where I said, no, Lord. Now, Grinch, I'm going to come back to the end letter at the very end. The Grinch for C is, can all you get? And get all you, remember the old saying, can all you get all you can, and then can all you get. Christmas, listen to this, Christmas is swapping. Christmas really isn't giving anymore. Christmas is swapping. Let me tell you what, you want some joy this Christmas season? Why don't you anonymously give without getting anything else in return. Find somebody, some situation, somewhere, and give without anybody knowing it was you. And give. You want real joy? The Bible says it's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. And a lot of our giving at Christmas, there's nothing wrong with it, but a lot of it, if it's only swapping, you give, you give, you get, you give, you give, you draw names. Everybody gets a little bit here and there and da, da, da. If you only do that, which is perfectly great, but if that's all you do, your joy will not be mega joy. What mega joy will come in is when you give with nothing in return. And the Lord even said this. He said, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. How many would like to lend to the Lord? I can lend to the... How many think that would be a great place to lend money to? Lend time to? When you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Why don't you give this Christmas season without anybody else knowing about it? That's the word. And then the last one, we'll come back to the end, is H. And that's holding on to hurts of past Christmases. And that's something I dealt with the last few weeks. I won't go into that. But you need to let go of past Christmas hurts. Who did invite you? Who didn't give? Who did this at that outing? what Uncle Joe did here and there, what Aunt Betty did or did not do or said, or you need to let go of all the Christmas parts of the past. Whether you lost a loved one during a Christmas season, whether it's a traumatic time for you. Listen, if you will let go of that, you'll experience real mega joy in your life. And then I want to go back to N before we do communion. And I believe the Lord will do it. N is never remembering the reason. The way you lose your joy is you're never remembering the reason of what the Lord did in your life. Why the reason of Christmas completely, why it began, what's the center of Christmas, why God did Christmas this season. I want you to bow your heads one more time this morning. And I want you to do this. Lord, I want a spirit of remembrance to come upon us this morning. Father, of all the expectations that we're about to enter into and all the tension and the pulling apart, everything is going to happen. Lord, this morning I pray, would you open our hearts and minds? Would you let us center again, Lord, afresh and new on the reason of the season? Lord, open our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Look at Luke chapter 2. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news." Everybody say, "Of great joy." Say great joy one more time. Great or mega joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there is been born for you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. John 3:16. For God, everybody read this with me, would you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Everybody say the reason for the season. You know, the Bible speaks of it. It says this. It speaks and it said, listen, there's a season when we're to remember and put Christ at the center. In 168 BC, right before the turn, 168 BC, in the Middle East countries, there was a ruler from Syria called Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes came down. He was defeated by Rome. The Roman legion brought him on the beach, drew a circle around him, and made him promise on threat of death before he could get out of this circle that he had to go back home. And he was humiliated and defeated, and he had to make this promise in front of his men. And so they let him go. And on his way back, the Jews were having some festivity, and word got to Antiochus Epiphanes. They were celebrating his humiliation. He came into Jerusalem, destroyed Jerusalem. In fact, he so desecrated them that he took a pig, which was a most unclean animal to the Jewish people, brought it into the temple, tore open the veil, brought the pig onto the holiest of holies, and sacrificed this pig in the holy of holies. Jesus spoke of it, called the desecration of there. And what he did was he began to desecrate, and then he went back. Well, he left some of his troops there. During this time, a group of families called the Maccabees. If you've been Catholic, you've heard the Maccabees. The Maccabees rose up in revolt against him. And they defeated the troops that were left there. They went into the temple, cleansed the temple. But when they did, they only had enough light to burn for one day. But in the history books, it tells us, and you read the intertestament period, a miracle happened, and olive oil, instead of lasting one day, lasted 8 days, long enough for them to cleanse the entire temple. So the Jews began a feast every year to celebrate that, called the Feast of Lights. We hear about it during this season of the year. It happens right now at the end of November into the end of December. And he heard of it called Hanukkah. They have it now during this season of the year. And it's a remembrance and a celebration of the cleansing and the miracle, how this one light, one little bit of olive oil burned for 8 days. And what they did was, in remembrance every year, what they would do is the Jews then would take during this season of the year, that when they do it, they take a candelabrum and they light the first candle. And when they light it, the priest lights it. Here's what he says. "I light the world." And then he takes that candle and he lights every other candle with it. "I light the world. I light the world." This happened during the intertestament between Malachi and the book of Matthew. Jesus comes on the scene. And one of the things that he says, which every Jew would understand, and I believe he said it during this season of the years in the book of John. Here's what he said. Listen what he said one time. Good. Last scripture. John, do you have that one? Then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He didn't say that some open. Every Jew knew what he was talking about. Was they had just started that a few hundred years before, and they were lighting that, and every priest would take that candle and says, I light the world. And you know what I find Jesus saying right here? He's saying, listen, keep me in the midst. And he was telling the Jews, keep me in the midst of your festivals. Keep me as a sinner. I am the very center of what you're doing. I'm the reason you're doing what you're doing. I'm it. Remember me. The old apostle Paul was saved a long time after the early apostles. He wasn't called by Jesus when John and Matthew and Mark, all he wasn't called when they were. In fact, when Jesus had lived for those 3.5 years and then crucified and went to glory, Paul had yet been called. He was still Saul of Tarsus. And the Bible says that one day the church is just being the church, and Saul of Tarsus begins to come and attack the church. And on the road to Damascus, when he's going there to kill him, the Bible says a light shines and he knocks him down. And Saul says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. The Bible says he was blinded. And a few days later, a young man laid hands on him and he received his sight. And he begins to testify, and he that had been against the church now was for it. And all those that used to be against the church also tried to kill him. And Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, was put out into the desert. And before he could sit down with Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, and all those, before he could sit down and they could tell him and teach him everything they'd learned in those 3.5 years of walking with you, before they could sit down and talk to him, he was having to be rushed out of the city, and he rushed him into the deserts of Arabia. And there he was by himself. And many years later, he tells about what happened in Arabia in the desert. And while he was in the Arabia in the desert, Jesus himself came to the Apostle Paul. How many would like Jesus to do that for you? You know, one day. He came to the Apostle Paul and began to teach him things. It amazes me because he tells Paul something that's not even listed in the Gospels. One little part of it. And Paul later says, what I received it from the Lord. And I think, you know, here's Jesus. He's in heaven now. What is he going to really count as important now out of those 3.5 years? What's he going to count important to tell the Apostle Paul? And only very few times does Paul ever verbatim quote the Lord. Very few times does he reach back during those 3.5 years and say, well, I was in the desert. Jesus came and he told me some things. And here's what I'm because I didn't learn this. Paul says, I didn't learn this from the apostles. I received these things from the Lord. And I want you to notice this one main thing that the Lord, he talked about. Watch this. For I received from the Lord that which also I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this what? Do this in remembrance. Now, that's in the gospel. You can read that. The next part is not. What's this? In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup and the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. And that last little part, you don't find that in the Gospels. Do this in remembrance. He says it twice. Do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink, you do this remembering the Lord's death. I want you to get this morning. I want the lights to begin to go down low. Would you get that song ready if you would? We have communion. We're going to need to come. Let me have the men come up real quick. It's going to spread out the communion.